Hi, this is Allison Gingras, host of A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, your on-air book club. A Seeking Heart features daily live discussions, weekly giveaways, and author interviews. We don't just review books, we share them, and you're invited to participate by calling in or posting your comments on social media. The best part, no reading necessary. I got you covered. Please visit A Seeking Heart show page on breadboxmedia.com for showtimes and featured books. Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. If you are a regular listener, then you're going, hey, it's Tuesday. Why are you live? Why are you here? Well, I am going to be taking a vacation day on Friday. My family and I are going to be visiting with the children that my daughter was adopted with. Done this every year since we brought her home 7 years ago. We meet up in Connecticut with, there was 10 children adopted on our trip to China. In 2009, there was 10 of us, 10 families. There was an older boy who sadly we never see. His parents split shortly after the adoption, and he has since remarried, moved away, so we never see him. But he's always in my thoughts and my prayers. But the other 9 families have done a pretty good job of staying close. There was one other little boy about Faith's age. Faith was almost 4 years old when we adopted her, and the rest of them were all, this was like a 15-month-old, an 8-month-old, 18-month-old, and then the rest were all 10-month-olds. It's just such an amazing family. They're really like a family. We call them China cousins. They call themselves Carly cousins, C-A-W-L-I. It's for the China Adoption with Love agency that we went through. That's their initials. China Adoption with Love. It's Cowley. But because I don't want to keep finger spelling Cowley, and I think for Faith, she looks at them as her China cousins. That's what we signed to her. So she has this wonderful extended family, and we really work hard to keep her connected to them because there is nobody in our family that is Asian. So for her, it's very, you know, she doesn't see the culture. She doesn't, you know, she gets culture, deaf culture at school, but she doesn't really get her Chinese culture. So it's really fun to bring them together. Some of those girls are continuing their Chinese culture, learning the language, going to, one has a mentor that's from China that was adopted as well. So really some neat experiences. Anyway, so since I've taken Friday off, I wanted to make sure that I gave this week's book, River of Grace, Creative Passages Through Difficult Times by my friend Susan Bailey. I wanted to give it adequate time. I thought it deserved 3 days. I didn't want to shortchange her or this book. And Ave Maria Press, who's such a great supporter of A Seeking Heart with all their wonderful books that they share with us here. And I've been blessed to get a backup for my communion calls with the 3 lovely 90-year-olds that I get to visit once a week at the assisted living. So with all those ducks in a row, I thought it would be just a wonderful time just to jump on here for a Tuesday. Surprise, surprise, I'm here. And if you're here live and want to join the conversation, you are always welcome. 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. That's 573-4-BREAD-4. You can call in. You can text that number. You can always go over to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Facebook. I check there during the breaks. While you're there, by the way, you have to go to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, and you have to like it. I'm just telling you, like bossy woman today, go like A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras. While you're there, once you've liked it, then click on the giveaway because I have the most amazing mega giveaway and there's only 4 days left to it. It is from Servant Books, Franciscania. They have given 3 amazing prizes. The first is Pope Francis Takes the brand new book. Pope Francis is so humble. He's so ordinary yet extraordinary. And I love how this book highlights that. Gary Zimak, who was our guest last week, whose name I actually said correctly, so proud of myself. He, his pack. I crack myself up. Two of his book in one pack. You get to win both. His Faith, Hope, and Clarity book, which was out last year, or maybe the year before, 2014, perhaps. And his brand new book that we talked all about. Oh, Find a Real Friend in Jesus. Yes, did you get sense that I've forgotten completely the name of that book? I was thinking today, I was trying to tweet out that I was doing River of Grace. And I was like, is it Rivers of Grace? River of Grace? And I thought, you know, you got to just give me a little slack, just a tiny little bit. Like, I read at least one book a week. I remember mostly what's in the book, and I remember the author. If I happen to slip a little bit on the exact title, I think I deserve a little special dispensation. I even do pretty good remembering the publishers. Every once in a while, I will send a message to one of the publishers asking if their author is available, and they'll write back and say, we don't carry that book. That's a tad bit embarrassing. Tad bit. Luckily, I don't do it very often because I double, triple check myself now. I've learned, like, I think mistakes are only tragic if we don't learn from them. I was thinking about a friend the other day that she had something happen, and I warned her. This is my son too. I think I shared with you with the money. Something happened. I said, this is a warning. This is something that was fixable. It wasn't a big deal. It's actually kind of funny that this happened to you. And then I warned them, be aware that this is a lesson. You know, be extra careful not to do this thing again. And the same thing with Ian and his money. Like, be very extra careful not to put your money back in your back pocket. Like, that's just not a good idea. Well, both of them didn't learn from those mistakes, and both of them had bigger tragedies happen, the same exact circumstances, except for the outcome that time was far worse. So this morning, as I was praying my rosary, doing my rosary walk inside, FYI, because it's really hot out and I melt. Water and hot air make me melt. You're like a witch melting? No? Okay. So I was doing my prayer walk this morning, my rosary walk inside around my dining room table in the air conditioning. I know I'm such a dork. That's why we closed the shades. I was just thinking about how mistakes are only tragic if we never learn from them. So I've learned from my mistakes of emailing the wrong people. And I'm very, very cautious now. I'm also never, ever I don't gossip anyway, but if I have something to say about somebody that's maybe not gossip that needs to be said, I never text it. I never write it down because, one, I have been the person who sent it to the wrong one, which really deserve that because you shouldn't be doing that anyway. But it also gets me in trouble. You know, you get tired. You're texting at night. You ever like sleep text? It's not pretty. Don't do it. So the third prize in this week's giveaway from Servant Books Franciscan Media is from my friend, my very special friend, Lisa Hendy. She's the founder of CatholicMom.com, and she's written children's books. They're called The Chime Travelers, and we had Lisa on talking all about those. In fact, that reminds me that I need to add that link to our interview with Lisa to this week's Small Success Thursday. It was just, they're so wonderful. And now there's three new ones. When I interviewed her, I think she only had two out. And now there's five. The newest one coming out about the birth of Jesus just in time for Christmas. Oh my gosh, it's so cute. I keep getting notifications from Amazon. Coming soon. I can't wait to read it to Faithy. Really cute. So you get all five. So five of the Chime Travelers from Lisa Hendy, two of Gary Zimak's wonderful books, and Pope Francis Takes the Bus, all from Servant Books Franciscan Media. I also had a very big announcement yesterday. I've kind of been hinting to it. I announced it a little bit here and there, but in conjunction with World Youth Day in Poland, wanted to make it official. We're going to try our darndest to get to Poland October 9th through the 20th, 2017. I'm going with Catholic Faith Journeys. amazing, amazing travel company, all about the faith in the journey. The pilgrimages are not vacations. We're going to talk a little bit about my pilgrimage to World Youth Day. Oh my goodness, easy for me to say. World Youth Day in 2013, I went to Rio de Janeiro. I learned very quickly that a pilgrimage is not a vacation. And I'm going to talk about that as we go through this week's book, River of Grace, Creative Passages Through Difficult Times from Susan Bailey. But I've been trying for years to go on a pilgrimage. I think I tried my first one to Portugal like in 2000 and oh gosh, before, I think it might have been even before I went to Rio. So 2012-ish, they just never happened. But I feel like this is the one. It's my first time working with Catholic Faith Journeys. They are so on top of things. Their heart is so into the mission of bringing people closer to Christ through pilgrimage. The whole purpose of a pilgrimage is to grow closer to God. It can be a vacation. Like, well, you know, we'll definitely do some sightseeing. It's just a beautiful country. I can't wait to be there. But it's a faith, hope, and love of tour of Poland, I feel like we're going to be on, where we go to just the incredible faith of Maximilian Kolbe and Edith Stein, and the amazing love of John Paul II, and of course, the trust of Saint Faustina, the divine mercy. She is, I call her my home girl. If you remember last year, I was venerating her relic and it got completely wrapped around my necklace, a little monster, this little tiny monstrance, and it was like completely wrapped around me. Reliquary, such a terrible, why name things so difficult? Anyway, I'm excited to go to Poland, and I really pray that you will join me. So pray about coming. The information is on my website, reconciledtoyou.com. Front page, you can't miss this beautiful, huge graphic that says pilgrimage, come along. And there's a beautiful picture there of all the four saints that we will be traveling with when we go to Poland, October 9th through the 20th, 2017. We'll be right back with River of Grace. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I am going to be sharing with you for the next 3 days, River of Grace, Creative Passages Through Difficult Times from my friend, Susan Bailey. Susan will join me Thursday. I know I'm totally messing with you this week. I'm here on Tuesday. I've got a guest on Thursday. I'm just, you know, keeping you on your toes, making sure you're paying attention. Just kind of like Skype is doing with me with their new Silk Nutella. What is this? Sorry, Squirrel Girl just had a moment of, yeah, dairy-free deliciousness. 90, get out of my screen. I am the person marketing was created for. Squirrel people love marketing. Give me some flashy colors and delicious looking food and I'm all over this. This is the best, I'm telling you, the best marketing ever, because I'm totally going to buy this stuff. Anyway, back to our originally scheduled program. No commercials for Silk. Ooh, what? Oh, goodness. Caramel, almond, cashew, yumminess. All right. So it's kind of ironic because we're actually going to be talking about food allergies too. So that's pretty funny. So what is this book about? Since Stephanie Symbol, we're wonderful, talented publicist who gets, you know, those people behind the scenes never get recognition. She probably wouldn't like it, the fact that I just gave her recognition, but she really is very talented and she helps get these books into, you know, we're talking about this marketing of this deliciousness on my screen. Well, it's not that marketing's there to sell stuff. It's marketing is there to make sure we don't miss something. Like, my life would not be complete without this delicious drinking this here made with caramel almond cashewy deliciousness. It's I'm telling you, it needs to change soon. I'm going to turn off my screen. But I think that's what the publicists of all, the publicists of the publishers, try to say that 10 times fast, do for us. They make sure we don't miss anything, because they're, I feel like they are just these avenues of the Holy Spirit. You know, they move on their instincts, and they help us to be drawn into whatever the Holy Spirit is leading us to. I've read lots of books. I've read lots of book announcements, and I'm like, yeah, that one's okay. But I know when it's the one for me. The Holy Spirit just kind of 2x4s me in the back of the head and says, this is one for you. And even though Susan is my friend, and I would have read the book anyway, I have lots of friends who write books, but I don't cover them all. When you only have 50 books, 50 weeks to share books, you have to be kind of picky. And I'm so happy that I was able to get a hold of River of Grace and to share this with you. So this is what Stephanie writes about it, to help us understand what Susan Bailey is sharing with us in River of Grace. In just a few years' time, Catholic recording artist and blogger Susan Bailey experienced one challenge after another: the deaths of her father and her mother, financial issues, the loss of her singing voice. Yeah, that's a big one. I'm going to let her tell you that story on Thursday. It's quite remarkable. In River of Grace, Bailey relates how her devotion to the Eucharist inspired her to see Christ's presence in her life and helped her to trust again. Each chapter relates Bailey's experiences of loss and growth with tangible connections to daily living. These connections include original activities, which are really cool. I'm going to share one with you today. I'm not going to share all of them, but they really are really cool and very original. It's something I've never seen in a book before, where you're given a tangible activity, like go get a piece of paper and a pen and find an immovable object in your home. True, that's what we talk about today. And, you know, go through these motions and then let's reflect on them. And how does this relate to what we just read? And if you are somebody who is a kinesthetic learner, that's somebody who learns through doing, this book is perfect for your learning style. I used to be an early childhood educator. So this whole how do people learn thing really spoke to my heart. And I know that some people learn visually, some people learn auditorily, and other people learn kinesthetically, which is through their bodies. So they need to actually do tangible things to absorb the lessons that the Lord has for them. Go back to that first segment. Those two of my dear friends in my life who apparently, even though they lived through the lessons tangibly, aren't getting it yet. Hopefully the second time was a charm and they won't go to the third. So she has these original activities and personal rituals inspired by everything from Joni Mitchell music videos and hot baths to visual imagery and uncooked spaghetti. These creative tools guide readers to reflect on their own experience in a more accessible way and allows them to discover their personal gift of grace. I love grace, and I love the fact that it's a gift, and I love that she expresses grace in that way throughout the book. Susan Bailey also provides her readers with prayers, poetry, and a set of insightful reflection questions. Well, you know me and my questions. Small, anything that facilitates or helps facilitate a small group discussion is a book for me, which are placed, those questions, at the end of each chapter. And they're really good. Sometimes you get to the end and you read the questions and you're like, yeah, I don't get it. Like, you either don't understand what they're asking you to decide or think about, or you've just kind of already talked about it in the book. So if you're a writer and you're contemplating questions, please don't reiterate your text in your question. Just a little FYI. Draw people out deeper. Go deeper with your questions. Bailey also provides the readers with prayers, poetry, and a set of insightful questions. Yes, I'm rereading it. This book is a perfect instrument for any Catholic struggling to find grace amid personal strife and challenges, which is basically in everyday, ordinary life. You'll be happy to know, very happy to know, that the picture of the yumminess, of which I've written down the name of and I will be buying it, is now missing from my screen. And you have my full attention again. It's not easy being a squirrel. Need to read that, rewrite that Kermit the Frog song where he says, not easy being green. I need to change it to not easy being a squirrel. I've been a squirrel for a long time. It's just, everything grabs my attention. School was a nightmare. And I was ADD before ADD was diagnosed. And girls were never diagnosed with ADD. It was always the boys. Anyway, back to the book. No more squirreling. So she's talking about Grace. Carried by Grace. It's again, River of Grace by Susan Bailey. My recollection of Grace, Susan writes, was that it was administered at certain times. It was planted in me as when I was baptized and sealed within me when I was confirmed. Every Sunday, I received the Eucharist, which fed me for the coming week. And when I did something wrong and was separated from God's grace, I sought out the sacrament of reconciliation, which would cleanse me and restore the connection. Grace was meant, Susan continues, to nourish and to heal. I could not generate it nor earn it. I could not receive it as I could only, I could only receive it as a gift freely given by God. Think of a gift. Truly think about a gift. Think of when it's the most precious, when it's your birthday, when it's Christmas, when it's your graduation, or when it's unexpected. You did nothing. You weren't born. You didn't graduate. You didn't get married. You didn't have a baby. You did nothing. Just one day, somebody shows up with a bouquet of flowers, or in your mail is a squirrel you weren't expecting. Sonia Corbett did that last year, early last year. I went to my mailbox. It's a big, huge box. I opened it up. Sonia Corbett is the host of one of the Breadbox Media shows, Pursuing the Summit. She's the Bible study evangelista. She is fantastic. She's the reason I'm here. I met her at a Catholic radio conference. And out of nowhere, she just saw this squirrel when she was shopping. And she packed him up and she shipped him off. And one day I opened up my mailbox and there was this cute squirrel who now stares at me when I work. That gift meant so much to me. I did nothing to earn it. I totally didn't expect it. It was just given because she was thinking about me one day. I made her smile, so she wanted to make me smile. And just because she loved me, she sent me this gift. This is what grace is. We do nothing, absolutely nothing, to earn it. We can do things like participate in the grace trifecta of prayer, sacrament, and scripture to receive it, but we do nothing to earn it. This is all gift from God. All forgive those things, the prayers, the sacraments, the scriptures, they just open up our hearts and prepare us better to receive this freely given yet undeserved gift of God's Holy Spirit. That's what grace is. And that's what those things do. They prepare it for us. But how special is a gift that's just given out of sheer love because somebody's thinking of you, because you made them smile. They wanted to make you smile back. We get back. Speaking of getting back, when we come back from this break, we're going to look more at River of Grace, creative passages through difficult times. And we're going to talk a little bit about loss, what it's like when you have to either give something up that you love or it's taken from you without your deciding. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We're talking today and tomorrow about River of Grace, Creative Passages Through Difficult Times, Susan Bailey, Ave Maria Press, and Susan will be joining me here live 10 a.m. Eastern Time on Thursday. That came out funny. Thursday. I'm so sorry. July 28th, she will be here. So it's unusual to have a Thursday guest. Oh my gosh. I really wish sometimes I could just hit stop, rewind, do over. But anyway, God's funny. And we're not going to hit rewind because life doesn't work like that. We're going to just move forward. So she's going to talk on Thursday and about how the loss of her singing voice taught her to let go. I'm going to leave that story for her to tell, but I'm going to share a little bit from what I took away from the lesson of chapter 3. Loss is a significant challenge, Susan writes, and the natural inclination is to fight it. We deny our loss and struggle against a myriad of emotions. It's one thing to lose a loved one. It's another to lose a significant part of yourself. The grief is deep. In any case, losing a loved one, however, is more of a black and white experience. There is no argument about whether or not that person is gone. When you lose a part of yourself, however, it can get into murky area, especially if the loss is not immediately visible to those around you. Family and friends, Susan continues, may not appreciate or understand the depth of your loss, adding a whole other dimension to your grief. Oh, girlfriend, you have no idea. So as you know, because I talk about it incessantly, I am sorry, but I have food issues. And this all started quite a while ago, but really came to a head last year, last June-ish, when I started to get very, very ill. And I was so worried about my health, and I started to pray in earnest for the Lord to heal me. I really thought it would just go away. And the Lord did heal me, but it didn't go in the way I wanted. You ever have that, right? You want God to answer your prayer and you want him to answer it the way you want. And it's not like the ending was tragic. I mean, I wasn't sick, praise the Lord. I am still here, but it wasn't quite the answer I wanted because it wasn't just that everything went away and I felt better. It was that I had to cooperate and I had to make some huge changes. I discovered that I was more than lactose intolerant. I was dairy intolerant. I would thought it was just lactose, but it wasn't. It was all dairy and it's ugly. And it's more than just like the obvious ugly. It's just, it's painful. It's just not pretty. It's not good. And the other thing was gluten. And for years, I thought people and their gluten allergies were just another sales gimmick to get people to buy gluten-free food. And I thought they're all full of it. Yeah. Don't make fun of people because God may show you just how not full of it they really are. It's a real thing. So along with the dairy went the gluten. And I do feel more than 100 times better. If you could feel more than 100 times better, I'm it. I also had to add walking to the situation to make me feel better, which the Lord did very funnily when I started my first 54-day rosary novena last year. And as I started the first prayer, he kicked my butt outside and said, go walk around the house. Basically, I was going to bring down the walls of Jericho, if you've ever read the book of Joshua, in order to defeat the enemy. He just walked around. The Lord just said, walk around each day around the wall of the city. And then to take it down, they did loud trumpets. And well, I don't really do loud trumpets at the front of the house, but I do walk around the perimeter of my yard, bringing prayer to my family, to our situation, to my husband's diaconate, to my children. And that's what I do. I may look crazy. I really don't care. Go to reconciledtoyou.com, click on the blog and search for the Rosary Novena, or I think the title of it is My Neighbors Think I'm Crazy. And you can learn more about my rosary walks around the house. So he added exercise. He made me acutely aware as I was reading Cravings by Mary de Torres Post that there was something more to my illness than meets the eye. I had to focus on food. And there's also some weight issues that I had to take care of. That took another year, and that took my friends pinging for me to go to Weight Watchers and dragging me there to really start to bring all of this back into the right order and to feel better. But there's been an enormous amount of loss around the situation. I am a Portuguese woman. We love our bread. We're pretty big fans of bread. Sweet bread was all I ate growing up. Sweet bread with real butter. That's it, butter. So I would normally say, but I went with the butter. Sweet bread and butter. Grew up on it. It's one of my favorite. There's so many memories tied around this silly food that having to give it up has been so devastating. I know that sounds so silly, but if you've ever really been attached to something, and in Susan's case, her voice, her singing was a part of her. Being Portuguese, it's sweet bread. It's madassadas, which is the Portuguese word for fried dough. We go to fiestas, and the fiesta is all about the food. The festas is all about the food, and I can't eat any of it. And I didn't even go this year, because last year when I went, that's when it all really came to a head. And the next morning, I couldn't move. I was so sick from what the food I had decided to eat was doing to my body. And it was hard. And it's been a very hard year giving up pasta, getting used to gluten-free pasta. Gratefully, I think that they've come a long way in their creation of gluten-free food. I'm a big beer girl. Love my beer. Love my beer. Love it. Having to find new beers and missing that really hoppy yumminess of a good beer. You know, like when I had the Catholic drinky here, we just, she came right at the time that I was just discovering this gluten allergy. And we still are supposed to do our gluten-free beer. Actually, I think Tanya Wenzel is going to do this with me instead. I know I've been promising her we're going to do it for a while. Crazy schedule. Anyway, put that on your calendars. We're gonna make that happen. So, you know, I think the part of what I took away from Susan's lessons here, River of Grace, is that the grace is in finding ways to embrace this newness with a new joy. So here I'm losing my beer, but now Tanya and I will sit down with a bunch of different gluten-free beers, do a little taste testing, have a great time together, and find ones that are good and share that with other people who are also struggling with this new way of life that's so part of my identity being Portuguese culturally is all about the food. Now, what I just read was when your family and friends may not appreciate or understand the depth of your loss, it adds a whole new dimension to your grief, Susan writes. Well, this has become quite an issue between Kevin and I. And I'm so surprised because he's not genuinely a insensitive human being. But with this particular situation, he really is. And I think it's probably time I talk to him about it. I realized that this morning as I was praying for the show. It might be time for me to ask him, why? Why are you so insensitive? You know, the other day I went to adoration. I have Tuesday night adoration from 5 to 6. I came home. There was a giant pot of pasta cooked on the stove. Him and Faith had already started to eat. That's all he made was the pasta. He's such a chef. And there's a ton left over. And he says to me, "Hey, I made dinner. Yours, you know, I left you some." I was like, "What? It's been a year. Are you kidding me?" I said, "I can't eat that." And he looked at me like I had 10 heads. Like, what? Ugh, I forgot. Like, really? You forgot? How can you forget that your wife can't eat spaghetti? It's kind of a big, like, it's been a very big part of our meal planning every single day. And I think I haven't helped it because during this process, during this discovery, I have fought it myself. And Susan talks about this in here, how we fight, you know, we fight against the grace that God gives us to accept our new norm, to accept our new who we now are, or to even to heal through it. We'll share her story, and the Lord gave her a great grace to be able to sing again. I will probably never eat dairy or gluten again, but that's not completely true, because what happens is I feel better, and then it's not really a problem. And then I eat something, and then I have to be reminded that, yeah, it is. And that's why I probably don't help it with Kevin, because he's seen me eat a piece of pizza. He's seen me eat ice cream again and pay the consequences. But I don't think that I've helped myself by not being very accepting myself of this. So asking the Lord for those graces to accept the new norm, to accept the, you know, this challenge that we've been given, the cross that we've been given. Grateful when the cross isn't as serious or as monumental as it could have been, and to find the joy in it, to find a new way. Like, I love discovering new foods. I go on Pinterest and find fun, yummy desserts. And instead of feeling that I'm being punished or that the Lord has abandoned me, using grace to move forward. We come back, we're going to look at more of River of Grace from Susan Bailey. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We are talking this week about River of Grace, Creative Passages Through Difficult Times from Susan Bailey out from Ave Maria Press. Just as we're coming back from break, I was thinking about my daughter, Faith. She has a little cold and she becomes obsessed. She's got some obsessive behaviors, and one of them is when her nose is running, she becomes completely obsessed with wiping it. So she quickly learned, and I kept trying. I usually have on hand the Kleenex with the lotion, because that seems to be all that helps not make her nose turn into this just red, Rudolph-y, raw, poor thing. So yesterday I kept her home from school because I knew she was, because she's still in school one more week. I knew she would be in there just driving everybody crazy with this obsession. I tried, you know, medication to dry it up, but it just wasn't working. You know how sometimes nothing works for that first couple of days of the cold. So yesterday she's home from school, just, you know, chilling, watching TV, just really trying to get better. And I look down, she's on the floor, and I look down and she took a tissue. I hope I can explain this properly. She's taken a tissue. One tissue, and she's created, you know how you take the end of it and you twist it between your fingers so you can get it up your nostril? Yeah, she has one up. She's one tissue with those little twirly things up each nostril, and it's just hanging there like a little white mustache, a little veil over her mouth. So I was like, I looked at her and I signed, "Is that really helping you?" And she's like, "No, thank you." I'm like, no, listen to the question, pay attention. Is that tissue really helping you? And she looked at me like, "Well, if it wasn't, would it be up there?" So that's a good point. Faithy, that's a good point. Okay, so keep the tissue up there. If it helps, you're not wiping, it's all good. So she had it really shoved up there. I bring her goldfish for a snack. I figure she's going to take the tissue out and, you know, a joyous snack. Nope. She lifts it like a veil. And she puts the goldfish in her mouth. And, yeah, that's how she ate the snack, lifting the veil of the tissue over. So at dinner time, I refused to eat dinner with this thing hanging out of her nose. And I made Kevin remove it because he was closer to her. And it was like the magicians that take the ribbons out of the hat. It just kept coming and coming. She had the entire tissue up those two nostrils. Oh, my goodness. She is so funny. Off to school she was today. Hopefully it didn't look, it didn't see it running this morning. She seemed to be under control, but oh, that kid just makes me laugh. Oh, I'd love to hear your kids' stories. If you ever want to share them, call in 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. You can email me, Allison@breadboxmedia.com, or leave them on A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Facebook. I have loved the conversations that are popping up over at A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Facebook. We had Christina Trinidad here yesterday talking about tattoos and kids in church, and really great conversation that came on A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Facebook page afterwards. And just really love how open everybody is and kind and really respectful. And it's just wonderful. Like, we should be a community. We should be talking about these things. It's what this is all about, learning about Christ, growing closer to Him. We're not to do it in a vacuum, and we're not to do it as an island or alone. Jesus sent out the disciples two by two. He had the group of 12 that came together and traveled together. Think of, and we know that the 12 apostles, but I just picture just so many other people who remained nameless, who followed along with Him. I mean, think about the miracle of the loaves and the fishes. You know, how many did they feed? And that was just the men. 5,000? 10,000? I think it was 5,000. And then there was the women and children were there as well. They just don't mention them in the scripture. Just, we're meant to do this together. Together we stand, right? Together we come together. So in her book, Susan, River of Grace, Susan Bailey, Discovering the Flow of Grace, going kind of back a chapter because I skipped ahead, she talks about how they had financial difficulties. You know, that we've really struggled, especially since last November, but really it's been just so many years. In fact, when I was posting the Money Matters over on ReconciledTo.com, when I did that 14-week series with the Compass Catholic Navigating Your Finances God's Way small group study, Susan has sent me a message and she's like, wait till you get to my book. You are going to be so amazed at how alike we are and some of the same situations that you've written about. And here's one. She writes, we ask God for the same things over and over again and get no answer. His seemingly lack of response leaves us confounded, even angry. Why doesn't God hear our prayer? In retrospect, His silence was clearly telling me something, Susan writes. I was asking for the wrong thing. I prayed to God to bail us out, when in fact, He wanted Rich and me to accept responsibility and work through our money problems as a team. And I wrote, amen. That was exactly what I felt the Lord was saying. He did bail us out of some of it, and He has provided. You know, to trust in the Lord means to trust in His divine providence. And we do that, but we also needed to learn. He had bailed us out, just like my friends who didn't learn from their two situations, you know, that it happened and they didn't heed the warning and it happened again. I did go to the third and the fourth without learning from my own money mistakes. Like, so funny how I learn something so quickly and other things take me just a little bit longer. The food issues, the money issues, it's probably because I don't want to change. I don't want to suffer. You know, because making these money choices, these changes, means that I have to change something about me. I can't just go out to eat every single night of the week. I have to learn how to cook. And I know how to cook, but then I also have to get over it when I don't feel like it. Like, I just have to suck it up and just deal with the fact that sometimes I have to do things I don't want to do. that's just life. And the Lord wants me to be the best me I can be, as Matthew Kelly says, the best version of myself. And that self needs to be a better steward of the things that the Lord has given me. I am very blessed. You know, I can't, when I say I have money problems, I certainly can't say that I'm impoverished. I'm just not good with what he's given me, and I've overextended myself. But I certainly am blessed beyond measure to have a way out. And one of the things I realized the other day when we were talking about our furnace that needs to be replaced, I said, we actually do have the money for it. Each month, my husband gets paid a paycheck. There are many people who are far worse off who don't have this every month to rely on. And even if it meant that we would have to take away from other things in a month or 2 months, maybe go a little late on something, we'll still be okay. We still have that blessing of a paycheck. And it's really been this eye-opener, this awareness that God is there and he's taking care of us. And yes, I would love to be taken care of in a little better manner. Sure, I'd like a Lamborghini instead of a jalopy, but the Lord knows me. He'd know I'd crash it and probably hurt somebody or myself, so he gives me a jalopy. It doesn't go very fast, and that's good. That's very good. I used to drive a Monte Carlo SS. I was such a speed demon. I even bought a minivan that was jacked up in the back. It was a sport model because I'm such a race car fan. The Lord's like, no, no, girl. No, that's not safe. That's not good for you. That's like candy before dinner for you. You can't have that. Such a loving dad. So the Lord wanted me to learn, so he makes me be persistent in prayer until I understand what I should be answering for, asking for. And it reminded me so much of this week's gospel, the persistent widow saying, who came in and asked for, you know, mercy and justice. That wasn't the one. It was one that came for bread. And the person was sleeping and they're like, go away. I'm not giving you bread. And they're like, but I have friends over. Give me bread. And it wasn't out of friendship that he gave the bread. It was just to get rid of them. So God's a little more patient than that person who just wanted to get back to sleep. But he still makes us be persistent in prayer because he wants to purify our intentions. He wants us to cooperate with the abundant grace that he has for us for what's best for us. And sometimes we like what's best for us. And sometimes it's pretty hard lessons learned. But in the end, God's grace always provides and it gives us peace and hope. And it is such a wonderful gift, undeserved, unexpected, and it comes truly in rivers. It's abundant. Tomorrow, we're going to continue with River of Grace, Creative Passages Through Difficult Times. For my friend, Susan Bailey, don't forget to visit A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras over on Facebook. We're doing that great mega giveaway from Servant Books, Franciscan Media, Pope Francis Takes the Bus, Gary Zimax Pack, two book pack, and 5 Chime Travelers from Lisa Hendy. You have been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.